listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up on the SBS On The Money podcast, the US slaps import tariffs on pharmaceutical products. The US economy expands more than expected. What does that mean for interest rates? And gold and silver continuing to surge. Silver at a fresh 14-year high. All that and more next. Everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Friday, the 26th of September 2025. The Australian share market today down by 0.2%. We'll have the details with Marcus Bogdan from Blackmore Capital in a few moments. But first, Donald Trump says pharmaceutical products will be slapped with a 100% tariff from Wednesday. That's unless companies build manufacturing plants there. What does it mean for Australia? For that and more, I spoke with Shane Oliver, Chief Economist at AMP. Shane, first of all, just how significant are Aussie pharma exports to the US and what exactly do they comprise of?
Well, pharmaceutical exports to the US amount to about $2.1 billion. That was last year, of total pharmaceutical exports of around $5.7 billion. So roughly speaking, about 40% go to the US. So it's quite, the market there in the US is quite big for the Australian pharmaceutical industry. That said, it's worth putting this in context. That $2.1 billion is only 0.08% of Australian GDP. So in the context of the overall economy, it's trivial. And within the $2.1 billion, you know, we found out that about 6% is typical branded medicines, whereas the bulk of it is actually blood and blood products, particularly from CSL. And it's unclear to what degree they will be subject to these tariffs.
Yeah. Before we talk about CSL and other listed companies, right, do we really know the impact of pharma tariffs on Australia?
Look, to be honest with you, the comment that came from Donald Trump on his social media platform, Truth Social, was pretty vague. It sort of said, well, come next Wednesday, a 100% tariff will be put on branded or patented pharmaceutical products. And the only exemption would be if you're starting to build a factory in the US, in other words, to start production in the US. It makes no reference to whether you've already got a factory in the US. So CSL may be optimistic that they will be excluded from these tariffs because they already have a heavy manufacturing capability in the US. But unless they're actually expanding that in a big way, they may actually still face the tariff. So there's all sorts of uncertainties around that. I think on the one hand, CSL are expecting that they're not going to be affected, but the share market is obviously uncertain around that, which explains why their share price has still taken a bit of a hit.
Yeah, so CSL shares down by 1.9% today. They were down significantly more earlier in the session. That's Shane Oliver there from AMP Capital. And a closer look at the share market today, which rose by 0.2%. It was down earlier in the session to 8,787. More sectors ended lower than higher. Healthcare, the worst performing sector, down by 1.37%, followed by utilities, but materials and financial stocks did well. Of the best and worst performing stocks, the best, Iperion X, the titanium producer, up by 6%, and Tabcorp, rising by around 4.5% today. Worst performers included Megaport, down by 5%, and Hub24, off by 4%, and some of those health stocks like Telix Pharmaceuticals off by 3.4%. For more on the day's market action, I spoke with Marcus Bogdan, the Chief Investment Officer at Blackmore Capital. So Marcus, a flat day on the Australian share market, but still all the talk is interest rates. To what extent is the market now, I guess, contemplating the possibility of delayed interest rate cuts, both from Australia and in the US?
I think both in the US and Australia, I think markets are reevaluating how quickly and how significantly rate cuts can be made. In the US, that revision of GDP growth up to 3.8%, revised up from 3.3%, is well ahead of expectation. And other data that we're seeing in the US is also more resilient. And so I think that that has put a pause in the market in terms of the level and the frequency of rate cuts in the US. And in Australia, the latest CPI reading at 3%, which was higher than the previous month, is at the upper end of the band of the RBA of 2 to 3%, is also suggestive that the market and the economy remains resilient. I think the consumer numbers, particularly in the first 6 weeks of this new financial year, commodity prices are high. And so for all of those reasons, I think the market is now suggesting either a pause or certainly not the number of rate cuts that they had originally expected.
Gold is at record highs. Overnight, silver hit a fresh 14-year high. What's your take on these moves and how much are they linked to that outlook for US rates?
Well, I think lower interest rates will be certainly supportive of gold. But I think the overarching driver of the gold price has been the significance of a store of value. Now, gold is now the second largest weight by central banks, more so than their holdings of the euro. So it's the US dollar and gold are the biggest weights in central banks in terms of their holdings. So the demand from central banks and from institutions, from buying for ETFs, has also been significant. And that's with the backdrop of the geopolitical issues that we're seeing globally, the tariff tensions, and also the fact that the government's fiscal positions are relatively poor. And so gold is now being looked at as a safe haven asset.
Donald Trump will be imposing that 100% tariff on pharma imports for those without manufacturing facilities in the country or those building manufacturing facilities in the country. Can you run us through the market reaction? Because health stocks still fell pretty hard. It's the worst performing sector on the ASX 200, and even CSL, which said it doesn't expect a material impact because it already has significant manufacturing a presence there.
I think the threats of tariffs on pharma have been coming for some time. There's still a lot more detail required around these announcements and what parts of pharma will be captured in this. And CSL has realized this really from sort of the April 2nd in terms of pivoting their manufacturing, bringing products into the US. But it's fair to say that CSL has historically got a very strong position, both in terms of how it sources most of its product in the US, that's plasma donations, and it has a significant manufacturing footprint in the US as well. In fact, I think 60% of their workforce is US-based. Additionally, CSL has also confirmed that, you know, they're going to further build out $2 billion in manufacturing facilities in the US. And I think all of those things present the fact that, you know, CSL, relative to other pharma companies, is well positioned to navigate through this issue. Undoubtedly, it'll increase the cost, and that will also bring further pressure to bear on inflation.
And finally, what are you telling your clients right now? Where do you see the opportunities for investors?
I think one of the more encouraging medium to longer term themes is around energy security, AI expansion, and the energy transition. And so from an investor's perspective, how do you position yourself into those themes? And primarily, it's through the commodity producers because the intensity and the level of metals required and rare earths required to drive this transition is absolutely significant. So, you know, those core big mining companies such as BHP and Rio, I think will be well supported. Then on the data center growth, those companies that are developing and owning data centers and get the benefit of using those data centers is also the second area. And the final area is you know, the most boring area is probably power utility companies. And the drive for greater electrification and the greater demand for electricity positions those companies, such as Origin, to be well placed to benefit from that increasing demand.
Marcus Bogdan there from Blackmore Capital, and he wraps up the podcast for this Friday and for the week. Don't forget, if you enjoy it, to give it a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Click that subscribe, and I'll see you next week.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision. This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.